Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it. It is Monday. It is game week. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, as we're ready to go. A busy first hour. Cedric Golden, Austin American Statesman on Mayweather McGregor. Husker outside linebacker Luke Gifford, a one-on-one, and Coach Charlie McBride in 1 hour. But we're going to open things up with assistant head coach and cornerbacks coach from Arkansas State, Trooper Taylor. Coach Taylor joins us to get things going to talk about Arkansas State, Nebraska. Coach Taylor, thanks for a few minutes. Nice to speak with you. How are you?
I'm doing well, my friend. Thanks for having me.
So back to Lincoln for the first time this weekend since when, Coach?
1990. I was a part of the Baylor Bear football team that, as you and I talked, we lost 13-0, you know, a really close football game, a lot of defense, obviously. And I remember we came with a quarterback, Steve Needham, down there, and we left out halftime 6-0 and then didn't score anymore, but we lost 13-6. But, you know, I just remember the fans and how knowledgeable they were and the respect that they had for both teams and just the way they carried themselves. It was something that I'll never forget. You know, obviously the tradition that went there, and Coach Osborne was the coach, and, you know, going into that atmosphere was really unique and humbling to be a part of that.
Coach Taylor is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Well, you're bringing a new group to Lincoln in Arkansas State, Coach. No stranger to Power 5 opponents. I mean, just kind of running down the who's who of college football, the Tennessees, the Auburns, the Miamis. Miami on your schedule again this year. And before we kind of get into specifics, what have you told the guys leading into this first game about Nebraska, about this opportunity for Arkansas State?
You know, just that it's a great opportunity. We're playing a team with a lot of rich tradition. It's one of those deals that you got to have on your bucket list to make sure that you get a chance to witness that type of atmosphere. And it'll be a great opportunity for our kids to see that and be a part of something, that tradition that just goes back for so long. And then, you know, obviously they got a great head coach who's got over 100 wins. He's been an NFL coach. Obviously, as well, and has coordinators that have done a great job. But, you know, just that atmosphere and that timing of everything, it's exciting. And, you know, and then going into detail about the team, and, you know, we talked to them about, you know, we watch the size that they have. I mean, it jumps at you right off the page on both sides of the ball. Their defensive front and their offensive front are huge. We won't see that in the Sun Belt at all. So, but just to be able to, you know, get that experience and go in there and obviously coming in there to compete and try to win a ball game.
You know, you look at Arkansas State, the Sun Belt, very talented league, and in 5 of the last 6 years you've won conference championships down in the Sun Belt. And why do you think that is? Not just the talent aspect, but from what you do, what Coach Anderson has done, and you've had a number of coaches kind of springboard from Arkansas State to higher levels, major programs. I mean, it's been a place where guys go and get hired away from to lead major programs. Why the success, and how have you guys gone about kind of implementing your own stamp? What do you say to your kids about how to play and how to win?
You know, that's part of the tradition here as well. You know, these kids understand this, that there's a standard here at Arkansas State, and we don't let our circumstances change our standard. And our standard is to play great football. As you said, there's been some coaches that have come through here and have gone on to bigger programs, but the one thing that we've been able to do is keep our staff here and obviously build some continuity there, which has helped us a bunch. But all the success, when you see different coaches change and yet the program stays the same, you have to start at the top with the president, with Chuck Welch, and then going to our athletic director, Terry Mahajer. He does a great job. He's very innovative. If you're going to be the coach here, you might as well buckle up and be ready to play teams like we're going to play in Nebraska, the Auburns, the Miamis, because that gets us ready for our conference schedule. You know, when we go through this gauntlet of teams like that, when you survive those and able to come out on the other end, we make sure that win or lose, we learn one way or the other. Even if we win, we learn, and if we lose, we learn. We make sure we stay on top of that, and that's something that has really helped us. And we talked to our team about coming to Nebraska and playing a team like that and how that's going to prepare us for down the road. You know, we talk about that daily as a staff.
Trooper Taylor is with us for a few minutes. Hail Varsity Radio assistant head coach, Arkansas State, the corners coach. And coach, give us an overview of your defense. What scheme do you guys like to run? And the name that's been, you know, continued to build steam is Javon Roland Jones, the defensive end that I think sacks everybody multiple times. give us an insight to what makes him special.
You know, we're based out of four down, you know, we try to get multiple looks in the back end. But Javon does a great job. He's coached by Brian Early, who is really meticulous and detailed in his approach. And so it really gives him a chance to be successful. The thing that you'll get from Javon is he's a guy that loves football. It could be two guys playing catch, and he'd take his shirt off and jump in there with him. I can promise you he probably thinks he's the best tailback on the team as well as the best D lineman. So he's just that type of kid, very smart. He's going to work hard. He doesn't get caught up in all the hype and all the things that are being said. He just loves to play ball, and you can tell because he's in the building all the time, and he loves being out there. So it really gives him a chance to be successful. You know, we lost some guys up front, but, again, that's part of that deal. We're next man up and not letting our circumstances become a problem for us. Just the standard of defense in which Coach Kaufman teaches, it's huge. And if you look, we've been pretty fortunate as of taking care of the ball and being able to get some turnovers on defense. You know, offense takes care of it, and we on defense try to go create turnovers and takeaways, and we've been able to do that. And also a lot of tackles for loss. So that's the type of standard that we set on defense, and it starts with Coach Kaufman, our defensive coordinator, and then it spreads throughout the team. And they just know it may be new faces, but those new faces that are in the room have to replace the ones that just left and maintain that standard. And that's the way we approach it on a daily basis.
Are you guys more aggressive blitzing, or is it more of a base where you just have a guy that's able to win a one-on-one?
You know, we're not a big blitzing team, but we do count on our guys winning one-on-one. But, you know, obviously our deal is to try to stop the run, and then we go from there because, you know, in order to win championships, you got to be able to run the football and you got to be able to stop the run. And so that's the thing that we try to do with our defense, and that's the reason why we base out of four down. Just to get D linemen on the field that can hold up and be able to stop the run. But we're not a real big blitz team. We try to play coverage and make guys earn what they get instead of giving up the big explosive play. Just methodically make people have to drive down the field and try to keep the ball in front. And our whole deal is to base out of making sure that we don't make mistakes and give up big plays and then let our players make plays.
Trooper Taylor's with us, quarterbacks coach, assistant head coach, Arkansas State with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Brag a little bit about Blaze Taylor. I know you might be okay with that. He's your son, but he's also a senior defensive back, an incredible punt returner, and just a very versatile corner between the pass breakups, the interceptions, and then not only a guy that can go after the football, but tackle the football. Is he a lot like Daddy?
Thank God he got his speed from mama and his look. The rest of it, and obviously his brain from mom. You know, I'm very proud to be Blazer's father, but also his coach. You know, obviously growing up young, I didn't get to spend a lot of time as I would have liked just because I was always on the road and chasing somebody else's son around. So I'm very proud of him and his accomplishments. The thing about him is he's another kid that loves ball. Obviously, from being little on up, he couldn't even watch the Cowboys play without me asking him a question about what they were doing and what they were doing wrong or right. And so I've always tried to be hands-on with him, even when he played, you know, from middle school all the way through. I've always tried to be close to where he could communicate and talk to me about his football side of it. So it's like having another coach on the field. And then he's a phenomenal student as well. You know, he's already has his master's, and he still has another year of eligibility. So he will leave here with 3 degrees by the time he finishes his football career. And, you know, I'm excited about that. But I think one of the things that people miss on him is how willing he is to go out in the community and work with kids that are underprivileged or kids that are in need. And he has a really good story and testimony that he talks about, because he's not very big in stature. But when he goes in that room, those kids are about his size, and he can talk to them about how important the education is. And when they see his size, they all think that they can do it as well. And so he tries to empower them. He's going to do he's starting his own deal where he's going to go out and just go to different schools and places in the community and make sure that he empowers these people to be able to jump out and encourage others. You don't have to be a famous football player or, you know, some rich person in the community. You just have somebody that cares, and he's going to go out and try to empower people to go and do that. So I've been really proud of him, as you can tell, and I'm excited about his senior year. But most important, I'm excited about the type of man and type of person that he has turned out to be.
That's outstanding. Coach Trooper Taylor is with us, and his son is one of the key corners for this Arkansas State team. I want to go to the offense here that Nebraska will run. You've seen a lot of Tanner Lee on film, and what are you expecting from Coach Riley's offense, and what are the challenges of Coach Riley's offense?
You know, they do a great job of ball control, and I think everything starts up front. Obviously, they're big up front, and then the running backs that they have are all really good players. There's no question about that. Just to see the way they take care of the football, they don't put the ball on the ground. Really did a great job in the screen game. It's probably one of the best teams I've seen with the tailback screens. I mean, they're phenomenal. And then when you look at it, I think they do a good job of getting the ball to their playmakers. I think sometimes coordinators and coaches get caught up in saying, this is my style and this is what I'm going to do. I think they've done a great job of maximizing the potential and ability of their players, whether that means throwing it out to a wide out or handing it to a tailback or finding a way to slip a screen to a tight end. They do a great job of getting the ball to playmakers, and you know they take care of the football. They do a really good job of that, and that's one of the things that we're very concerned with is, you know, trying to get the ball back for our offense and them being able to run the ball and eat up clock and, you know, just take control of the game physically. So we have to do a great job. We're going to have to be on our P's and Q's on alignment and assignment, and then we're going to have to play with phenomenal effort to give ourselves a chance to win this game.
Justice Hansen's an Oklahoma transfer, but 8-2 as a starter last year, 19 touchdowns, Josiah 3K throwing it. You guys have been going against this offense. What's the offense they'll bring into Memorial Stadium?
You know, I think what you'll see is he's more poised. Obviously, there's no substitute for experience, so the experience that he got last year is going to be huge. You can see the way he carries himself and the leadership qualities that he has with directing traffic out there, whether it's a receiver split or the depth of a route. He's really been more vocal on those things. So the big question mark for us, obviously, is we lost all 5 offensive linemen, and so we're having to start over from scratch there. So you'd like for the quarterback and the lineman to all have come back together at the same time, where last year we had no linebacker and no quarterback. Now we've got a quarterback back and our O-line is all new. So we're trying to get those two things matched together. So it's going to take some time, but that'll be the biggest question mark for us, because we feel like we got pretty good skilled guys, and, you know, it'll be whether or not we can hold up front. Obviously, Nebraska's huge up front. They do a great job, and then being in an odd front, the 3-down, it gives you problems. That's the reason why people run the odd front, because you don't get to see it all the time, and so that's going to take a lot of technique and fundamentals to be able to be on the right guys at the right time.
Trooper Taylor, assistant head coach for Arkansas State. Coach, I have about 2 minutes, and it's been a lot of fun. You started your coaching career at Baylor. Were you on Coach Steele's staff for a bit?
Well, no, I wasn't on Coach Steele. I actually started with Coach Taft, who I played
for. Gotcha.
And then I got moved up. I was actually coaching guys that I played with the year before. Blake and I were teammates at Baylor, and so that's where we got to know each other. And then both my kids were born there in Waco, and so Baylor's been a very special place for us and at that time there. And with that being said, I definitely would like to say some prayers for the people in Houston and there. I got a lot of family. I have a sister that had to be evacuated by the Coast Guard, and just today. And so just keeping all of them in our thoughts and prayers. Obviously, that's hard-hit area with the way the weather's been, and just continued prayers and safety for those people there in that southeastern area of Texas, and also for Coach Anderson and his wife and his family. You guys know I'm doing a press call because his wife is going through surgery today for cancer, and there's a lot of people that are affected by that, my friend. And so just special prayers and blessings for all of those.
Absolutely, Coach, and thoughts and prayers to Coach Anderson for sure from us here in Nebraska. Coach, it'll be great to see you and the kids this weekend from Arkansas State against Nebraska. Football's finally back in here, and we look forward to seeing Arkansas State come to town. Thanks for your time, Coach. It was a lot of fun to chat.
I really appreciate it. You make sure they get you better tickets than last time in 92. They got to get you up the nosebleeds, my friend.
Oh, I was happy to get in the stadium, my friend. That's
yes, sir.
All right. Take care, Coach.
Bye.
Bye. There he is, Trooper Taylor, assistant head coach at Arkansas State. Just fun to talk with him. And I remember going to that Baylor-Nebraska game. I was a kid. And I was just like, yeah, my man, I was way up there. My father's probably listening right now and just, he's like, you know, shut up. You got in. Same thing I'd say to my kid. But no, I was like, were you on that team? I just remember Baylor, like, making this thing very difficult. And it was. It's a good Baylor team that year, too. I think they went and won against Colorado out in Boulder a year later. So, pretty nice. And yeah, a year later they did. Trooper Taylor, you heard him wish thoughts and prayers. Coach Anderson's wife is underwent cancer surgery today. So lots of thoughts and prayers again to the Arkansas State family. We'll talk to Cedric Golden, Austin American statesman, McGregor, Mayweather, and some college football. Ced's up next on Hail Varsity. Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's head on down to Texas, get caught up with the Austin American Statesman sports columnist. And you can hear his podcast on Second Thought, host of On Second Thought podcast, at Ced Golden on Twitter. Cedric, college football season's here. How you doing, man?
Man, it seems like the summer's been slow, Chris. It's finally ramping up, man. This is game week. For a lot of us just starting out, I know there's some games this past week, but this the big schedule starts this week. Man, I'm excited. I'm ready for this.
It'll be outstanding. We're going to get your thoughts here on McGregor Mayweather. I know you're a boxing insider, but you were just telling me you just wrapped up a press conference with Major Applewhite in Houston, having to shift their practice schedule. The hurricane's been just brutal down in Houston. And can you give us an update on what you learned from down in your neck of the woods?
Yeah. Prayers go out to all those families affected in Houston. Schedule for that school, Major Applewhite just told us that school is off till Wednesday. Some kids are doing some online courses. They're here at the University of Texas. They were practicing in the indoor bubble. And, you know, this kind of puts it in perspective, Chris, because you look at it and football is, we all love football and it's an exciting time of the year for us, but it kind of gives you an idea of what's really important in life and people's safety and their families. And Major's wife and his two kids are still in the house, and they took on some flood damage, and so, you know, his heart is, you know, his body's here in Austin practicing, getting ready for a football game, but, you know, his heart's still got to be in Houston. So, yeah, really sad story, and it's you know, you hope the worst of it is over. It's a sunny day here in Austin, but just because it's sunny doesn't mean everybody's happy.
No, folks trying to get through that hurricane, for sure. Thoughts and prayers down in Texas. Cedric Golden is with us here. Austin American Statesman, Hail Varsity Radio, at Ced Golden on Twitter. Cedric, you are known for your insight on boxing, and you had an event 2 weeks ago here in Lincoln with Bud Crawford where it was electrified. You had a crossover opportunity this Saturday with McGregor and Mayweather. We had an event for the fight here at the station. A bunch of my buddies got it and were amazed at how long it went and the action that took place, how strong Connor's jaw was. What were you expecting going in, and what's your takeaway after the event?
I think it was about what we all expected. Chris, you knew that, you know, I'm going to tell you, and he doesn't get credit for this, but Floyd Mayweather is the greatest boxing promoter in history. I know he works with Al Haymon, but have you ever seen a guy make more money to do less? He's the best defensive fighter I've ever seen. And so I think that Floyd Mayweather sold the populace that this could be a competitive event. It wasn't. He didn't really throw any punches for the first rounds. He didn't want to go in there and knock out Conor McGregor in two rounds, because what would have happened is people would have been very, very negative about the experience. Instead, he carries him for six or seven rounds, and then he starts to pour it on, and the next thing you know, Conor McGregor is getting his butt kicked because he's in there with a seasoned boxer and one of the best of his generation. So I'm telling you, Chris, if Floyd Mayweather, if someone had said, you're going to get a $15 million bonus if you can knock this guy out in three rounds, Conor McGregor would have went to sleep a lot earlier than he did on the stoppage. I'm glad you mentioned Bud Crawford, because that's a real boxer, and that's a real boxing match. That was a real fight. Conor McGregor probably had no business in the ring with Floyd Mayweather. Bud Crawford, I think, is the guy that probably deserves a little bit more attention, along with Canelo and Triple G. Those are the guys that are fighting real fights against real competition. Floyd Mayweather, that was a $350 million money grab. Good for him. I wouldn't have spent 2 cents on that fight. I'm glad that he got his money, and I'm very happy that there's such a thing as Periscope. I found out about that this weekend. Great invention.
Cedric Golden found a way. I love it. Cedric Golden with us here on AL Varsity. I think you're right when you mentioned that he had Connor kind of carried through by Floyd, and you let it extend so everybody was happy, and then you got the stoppage. Were you happy with the stoppage, or did you want to see McGregor get put down like he was talking about afterwards? Hey, let me at least hit the canvas. Did you like, because there was no standing eight count, nothing like that. They just jumped in and said, I know it'd been a minute since he'd thrown a punch. Safety wise, I get it, but I'm like, wow, there was no opportunity for a finale here. It was stopped, and the ref saved Connor from Connor.
I hated it. I thought a fight broke out, and then Robert Byrd stopped the fight. I mean, but that was what we were there for. And then all of a sudden, he's waving his hand. I'm like, wait a minute, that's an MMA guy. So you're telling me he can be on his back, and there's a guy on top of him, riddling him with punches, and it takes a while to stop it? But he gets staggered in a boxing match, and you're waving your arms. I just thought it was premature. For as much noise as Conor McGregor talked leading in, you know what, Chris? I hated the bigotry and the misogyny that went into the promotion of this fight. I thought it took an ugly turn early on in the promotion, and I didn't think that was necessary. There was already interest built up, but I understand ticket sales, and they were slow, and so they wanted to build up the hype to this fight. But to answer your question, I was kind of hoping to see Connor go out on his back, not on his feet.
Cedric Golden, a couple more minutes with us. Hail Varsity Radio, Austin American Statesman, columnist. Can log on thestatesman.com to read Cedric. Also, his On Second Thought podcast, must listen to. I got to ask you real quick, what do you think of the Twitter awakening from Coach Leach? We love talking to him here. I know you have him on quite a bit. He's nonstop now, isn't he?
Oh, I love him, man. He's one of the best characters ever. I missed that whole Big 12 with Mike Leach in Nebraska. And I mean, there was never a dull moment, especially you had Mike Leach and the Pelini boys. Man, that was must television. And now it's gotten a lot more low key. But yeah, Coach Leach, you just never know. The one thing you can always hang your hat on with Mike Leach is there's going to be at least two tweets a week where he goes, well, Texas Tech still owes me money. So I don't know that he's ever going to get his money, but I can't fault his hustle. I know if someone owed me a couple $1 million, I'd be tweeting too.
Yeah, he'll stop in the middle of a thought and then just fire up the fact that he's still owed. I mean, that's – yeah, and he is. I mean, he brought them to new heights. I love following what he's doing at Washington State. Who do you like this year in college football? We're a week out here from – or a few days now, less than a week, from really an awesome opening weekend. And if you had to circle four playoff teams, who do you think gets there in January right now? Just put it in ink. I won't give you any trouble if you're wrong, but you're usually on it.
I'm always wrong, man. It's what has it been? 2 years since Alabama won it, so you got to put them back in there.
Right.
Jalen Hurts will be a lot better than he was in that championship game. Clemson, they confused him. Brent Venables confused him a little bit in that game and gave him some looks he hadn't seen. But I know that he'll be better at quarterback. So I know Alabama lost a lot of guys, but they got the best coach, so we'll put Alabama in there. Florida State is going to be really good. I know Dalvin Cook left, but the quarterback is back. I like them a lot. Of course, Clemson, having to replace the quarterback and Wayne Goldman, but the schedule is very friendly. Ohio State, decent schedule. Ohio State or Michigan, one of those two for that fourth spot. I don't really see a Big 12 team making it into the Final Four. I don't think the conference is quite ready yet. Too much uncertainty in places like Oklahoma and TCU. But I guess those will be my four.
What do you think of Nebraska this year, year three for Riley? We just got back from the Riley press conference, and they seem very, very confident, not overconfident, but a quiet confidence, and there's a lot going on, a transition to a 3-4, a new quarterback that'll start, but the fit is there for what Tanner Lee can do. And, you know, the schedule's not great when you got Ohio State and Penn State as your crossovers. That said, most of the big dogs do come to Lincoln.
Yeah, and it's always a transition when you change quarterbacks, and I know Tommy Armstrong moved on. Mike Riley, from his days at Oregon State, he likes to throw the football, and we all know that Tulane likes to fling it around, so I think Tanner Lee's probably going to be the guy there. I've heard some good things about the Richard Freshman O'Brien, but I haven't seen him. I did get to see Tanner Lee a couple of times on SportsCenter last year. He can really fling it. So I think that they're going to open it up, and they got some talent. Stanley Morgan Jr. I think is back, right, and DeMarnay Pearsonell. So those are some really good proven playmakers, and the most important thing. And I know I read this the other day on Street and Smith's, four of the five offensive linemen are back. So that's going to be a really experienced unit. I look for them to put up more points. I know our grandparents might not like the brand of ball because they're not running it every play, but. Man, this is point of testing. You got to throw it to win. So, can they stop some people? That's going to be the tough question, especially in the Big Ten, which is finally getting the props for being the good conference that it is. You know, the SEC dominated that ranking for a long time, but I think the Big Ten, Michigan, Penn State, and Nebraska, that's a tough, tough league. So, that's going to be fun to see. I think Nebraska's got a really good chance to put up by 28 to 35 points a game in conference. I don't count non-conference because everybody loads up on the weaker sisters. But in conference play, you can average 28 points a game in the Big Ten. You're going to win a lot of games.
We'll see if that happens. And that 3-4 transition, can it be ahead of schedule with a guy like Diaco? Cedric Golden is with us, Austin American Statesman, at Ced Golden on Twitter. Cedric, about 20 seconds. Who's going to be up next on the on Second Thought podcast? Who are you lining up?
Man, last week we had Major Applewhite. I think this week it might just be like a homer operation. Me and Kirk Bowles are probably just going to break down the schedule and look at the depth chart that was released. But if you like being bored for about 35 minutes and listen to me make old man jokes about Kirk, I think you'll enjoy this week's podcast. I've got some zingers for him.
Well, we'll do it. Can't wait to hear it. Cedric Golden with us. Cedric, be good. We'll catch up soon. Thanks for a few.
Take care, bro. Take care.
There he is, Cedric Golden. Thanks to him. Conor McGregor, Mayweather. Good recap from him. Caller 5 now for Salt Dog tickets. Caller 5, Salt Dog tickets right now. Caller 5, 466-3776.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Thanks for your time. Great to be back. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. 1 hour from now, our one-on-one with Husker outside linebacker Luke Gifford. 25 minutes from now, Charlie McBride. Brandon Vogel ahead of his book signing tonight with Coach Cook. I think 50th and O is where you can go see Coach Cook and Coach. We'll call Coach Vogel. Brandon Vogel. I want to remind you about Sauter-Hayman. You want to talk about your diamond coaches. There they are, Rick and the gang at Sauter-Hayman. Pure-grown diamonds, Nebraska's exclusive dealer. 100% real diamonds that are grown in a lab. Maybe you get yourself some bling. Maybe you get mama some bling to kick off another football season together. Why not? Pure-grown diamonds are eco-friendly. They're sustainable. They're beautiful. They're 10 to 40% less than traditional earth mined diamonds. They're some of the biggest and best sellers at Sauter-Hayman. Go see why for yourself. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island. And go see Rick and your friends not only this week, but throughout this football season for those pure grown diamonds. Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure grown diamonds. You know what? Say Nebraska wins the Big Ten championship. Just walk with me. While you can't get a championship ring from the team, maybe you go make one yourself, huh? With Pure Grown Diamonds and Rick. SauterHayman.com, yourbestring.com. Okay, a ton to get to. A programming note, we are on the road this Friday at Miller Time Pub down at the Cornhusker. Okay, Miller Time, if you haven't been, you need to be. It is fantastic. Plenty of goodies, plenty of prizes, plenty of food and drink specials. Miller Time this Friday, 4 to 6. Home Football Fridays, we are at Miller Time and Miller Time Pub, and we want to make it Miller Time with you. So we want to see you down there between 4 and 6 on Home Football Fridays. That'll be great. Also, your chance this week to qualify for Nebraska-Arkansas State tickets. We will take names and qualifiers Monday through Thursday. We'll do the ticket giveaway for our Arkansas State and Nebraska tickets on Thursday night show. Also, Blur party passes to get the whole meal deal set up for you. A little pregame fun with Blur for Arkansas State, and then two tickets. Let me make sure that math is right. Two tickets, you and a buddy. We will give away on Thursday. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. Can give us a shout. Can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House. We'll qualify folks once each hour. We'll qualify a couple of folks once each hour leading up. And then he's like, oh, dear God, that's more than I want. This is interesting. Lee Barfnick has his opinion. Lee, a very talented writer with the World Herald. Lee covers Big Ten football on a macro scope, but gave his thoughts about Nebraska. I'm kind of right there with that 9-3 number, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him get to 10. I think this year needs to be 10 because of the talent they have, the schedule they have at home, and just the natural progress and growth to be a team. This was said back on May 2nd, and this is from the World Herald, and this is a quote from Arkansas State coach Blake Anderson. The World Herald was kind of following up, getting ready, an off-season story on Arkansas State and Nebraska. And this is Coach Anderson's quote from back in May. Quote, they're beatable. They're really good, but if we play our best and we don't turn the ball over, it's a game that's winnable. We're looking for that signature win, and playing Nebraska at their place gives us that opportunity. End quote. So what does that mean? Is this a group of five guy who's won some conference championships just being cocky? No. There is a reputation out there that's been earned by Nebraska with performances against Ohio State and Tennessee and Iowa, okay? And there's a reputation out there that they just, if you punch them enough in the face, they eventually will fold. That's it. That is it. And I think that is known in the locker room. This is a different team, different leaders, different guys in position of power, some returning guys. They want nothing to do with last year or 2 years ago or 3 years ago when it comes to some of the defensive meltdowns. That is not their baggage, and they're going to have to do their damnedest to prove otherwise, that they are different, they are better defensively. And you can't just say, okay, it's Nebraska, so they're going to get punched in the face a few times, and they're eventually just going to crawl away. They need to change that narrative defensively. Nebraska does, but that's word on the street, and it's inherited by this team, whether or not it's accurate. And each season's different. Each leadership group's different. And you have a really awesome opportunity with a new scheme defensively and offensively at quarterback. I mean, you have things that can work, can click. We'll have comments from Riley here as to why it can and will. And I think it comes down to chemistry. But you just have a word on the street right now about what's Nebraska. Are they physical? They can be. They showed that they can go toe-to-toe with Wisconsin. But they also showed that they really didn't give a damn, and they were tired of getting hit against Iowa. So you have some different sides of the fence here to look at. What's it going to be for 2017? And back in May when they're talking to the Arkansas State head coach, yeah, I got to play a good game, but they're beatable. When's that ever happened? When's the last time a non-Power 5 team and head coach was bluntly honest with you about, I mean, it's Nebraska. Usually it's, well, let's go get our paycheck and get the hell out of Dodge. Now they're in it to get a win. Brian's been on hold. Brian, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
You know, hearing what that Arkansas State coach said, I hope Mike Riley heard it. I just want him to smoke him. 63-0, just smoke them. Run up the score as much as you possibly can. Stop being the nice guy. Set the tone for the season. Let everybody know we're back.
All right, Brian, there you go. So Brian's fired up about Coach Anderson's comments. Appreciate the call, Brian. 466-3776-800 825-5865. Can tap the line. Chillingbridge Cork and Tap House. You know? That was back in May 2nd. That's reported by the World Herald. Coach Anderson has had a day that no one wants to go through when your beloved wife is having surgery for cancer and Nebraska has to answer the bell from a toughness and perception standpoint. They're good enough to do it. But you got a different group of guys that are just sick of that narrative out there. One of them's Luke Gifford. He'll be with us in less than an hour. On this defense, on this team, on his development and growth this offseason at that backer spot. Brandon Vogel's coming up, and we are 15 minutes away from Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Hail Varsity Radio continues.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Thank you, Kramer. 10 minutes, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie, Lou Gifford at 5:40. If you go out tonight, you plan to drink, make sure you have that plan for a safe ride home. And if you don't have a plan, make a plan anyway, because one thing won't change, and that is if you get caught drinking and driving, you'll face a DWI, and that can cost you up to $12,000 in fines and fees and jail time, and to be required to install that interlock device on your vehicle. So when you're making plans to go out on a Monday or a weekend, whatever the time, make sure you have a sober ride home before you go out. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. So that reputation that needs to be shifted about Nebraska, you punch them hard enough, they'll go away. That may be what led into Coach Anderson's comments in May back to the World Herald about Nebraska being beatable. Everyone's beatable, but does everyone respond? And you have a credit card tab on this year's team and leadership and defense and offense, for that matter, in the O-line that got passed on to this year's team. Can they be tougher consistently? One of the reasons Coach Riley is extremely fired up and excited is that chemistry and that carryover for the chemistry. How does it go from off-field to on-field? Here's Coach Riley, one of the things that I really focused on and took to have some pretty big-time meaning what he said today.
How do I think that carries over? I think that, when you get a camp, you have a quality in a team that appears to be that this group is really consistent. You know, we had virtually nobody showing up late for meetings, everybody participating in the stuff that is kind of out of maybe our eyesight, but part of their day, whether it's the ice tubs or the rehab or the conditioning that's taking place while we're watching film. There was no drama in that area. When you get all that, what you're really getting underneath it all is you're getting an engagement that shows they want to do what's right for the big group.
That's pretty powerful. It's about we, not me. How many times did you hear about guys being late to meetings last year? A few. Some of them may have missed the season opener because of it. How many times did you have guys just not give a damn for the off season? It's gotten a lot better, and now it seems like it's hitting pretty well. Okay, let us get you qualified for Arkansas State Nebraska tickets. Two tickets we'll draw Thursday. We'll take qualifiers right now, caller 9 and caller 10, to Mr. Danny. Call him Mr. Danny when he picks up the phone. Caller 9, caller 10, Nebraska, Arkansas State tickets. Qualify right now, and we'll do that drawing on Thursday here on Hail Varsity and ESPN. Caller 9, caller 10, get in on the 800 line, 1-800-825-5865, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Caller 9 and caller 10, you qualify for the Thursday giveaway, Arkansas State, Nebraska. That is what we'll do for you. Thanks for listening. Hour 2, Mondays with Charlie. Coach McBride next on Hail Varsity.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Hour 2, it is that time on Hail Varsity Radio. It's a Monday with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, extraordinaire Coach Charlie McBride. Coming up shortly, Luke Gifford getting a black shirt today. Should be. We'll see. I know Lamar Jackson's already put out on social media that was hanging in his locker. So it's black shirt day today for the Nebraska defense. Brandon Vogel in about 25 minutes. We welcome in Coach Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, it's game week. You fired up?
Yeah, I'm fired up. Everybody's starting to get nervous.
That's right. I mean, you can be fired up, but you can be nervous too, right?
Oh, I was always nervous. You know, you think you're pretty tough, but you couldn't put my guts in a thimble.
Right. So did you? Here's my thing. Did you hide the nervousness well, or did you project it differently than being nervous?
No, I kind of acted as normal as I could. until the day of the game.
Okay. All right. Coach Charlie McBride with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, let's focus on the black shirts before we get into Arkansas State. And Coach Perella knows what it takes and what it's supposed to be when it comes to handing out that black shirt. But Coach Diaco, this is his first time as defensive coordinator. Has there been any consultation with you on this? Or
no?
Okay.
No. No, that, you know, each staff has to do their thing. I think, though, you know, when Mark Banker came in, I think he wanted to know pretty much what it was. I mean, I don't know, you know, if Mike knew exactly, Coach Riley knew exactly what it was all about. And I know that it was done one way with, you know, some coaches and another way with others. And I think each staff has to make a determination. And a lot of times, you know, it's kind of a business deal. And if you start making them, you know, wholesale, I don't know whether it means as much. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it is if you don't get one and you think you should, it motivates you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the point of the whole thing was, you know, if you think you're good now, if you both are equal in each way, then give both of them a black shirt. You know, there was nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, we had cases where we might have two defensive ends with a black shirt and on one side, one on the other. There's all kinds of different scenarios.
Coach, do you remember having a conversation with a guy who thought he deserved one and having to tell him, look, you need to get to this level, and you're playing at that level?
No.
No?
Nope.
Okay.
They knew what it was all about, that they understand the way it goes. You know, if you have a guy that's going to be playing equally,
sure.
You know, you can't take it, not give him a black shirt, I don't think. I mean, you know, he deserves it as much as the guy that may be starting.
Sure.
You know, I had times when one week I'd start the first team, the other week I'd start the second. That was way back in the old days, and we didn't have as many players, or the depth wasn't quite as good and things like that. Now you have, you know, different formulas of how you're given black shirts, and you have sometimes you grade kids out and you put them all grades together, and after spring or and fall, and then you just say this is who it is. And I think there's a lot of different feelings between coaches on that, and you know, so, but I think it boils down to position coaches.
Charlie McBride's with us, Mondays with Charlie, Hale Varsity Radio. The black shirt's being handed out today, and Coach McBride, some thoughts on that. What was the, before we move on, Coach, a last thought here on the black shirts, what did you say to the guys when you handed them out? I mean, did you make a broad statement? Did you do an individual consultation?
No, we did. The statement was made at the beginning of camp.
Okay.
I mean, each year we had this, exactly what it was, and I think, you know, and I told them, I said, look, if you think you should have a black shirt, you don't, then prove it. You know, we got a game coming up. It's your turn. Go ahead. You're going to play. So, you know, let's see, you know, what you do. And sometimes, you know, and I can see where. Right now, where Bob's a little bit caught in the, you know, you don't want to make it a personality thing. Well, this kid may not like me anymore or something like right. that. If you get that attitude, then I think you got a problem a little bit. But, you know, I mean, if you feel like the first two teams deserve black shirts, here's the thing that I said to all of them at the beginning. Everybody on defense is a black shirt. When they write something in the paper, a second team or a third team guy may have intercepted a pass or running a kickoff back or done something that doesn't have a black shirt. Well, you don't want to say the kid's not a black shirt, because if he's part of that team, he's a black shirt.
Sure.
I mean, they don't just say, well, black shirts defense stopped everybody or did something good or bad or whatever it is. that relates to everybody. It's just the fact that the guys that are the number one players, you know, are rewarded with a little bit extra, and that's by wearing a black shirt at practice.
Coach Charlie McBride with us here, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, what do you think about Arkansas State? They have played some big boys before. They have a quarterback that was at Oklahoma, isn't anymore, had a really good year last year. They're pretty big on big plays when they do score. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be going against a new scheme, right, for Nebraska. How do you see this thing shaking out Saturday?
Well, you've got pretty much an inexperienced. When you have a quarterback, you kind of consider. I think the offensive line has pretty good experience. When I look at that, you feel a little better about it, mm-hmm, because you know they're at least in the realm of knowing what's going on. They have the same coach. They have the same. You know, pretty much a lot of the things on offense will be the same. And, you know, so it's a little, you know, sometimes it's a little better offensively, even though, you know, you have maybe some new backs. And mm-hmm, all of those things, we're learning to read the blocking schemes and learning to do that by the backs, all should be done, you know, early. Now, the big thing in the first game is you don't know exactly what they're going to do. You can't study film of them this year, how they played the first two games or three games. And so they may come up with a new defense. They may come up with who knows what. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so it takes a while. It'll take a quarter. You know, you never know how long for coaches to filter through all this stuff. And that's the hard thing about both ways. They've never seen Nebraska's defense play. So they're nervous about that, you know, and that's the thing. At the beginning of the year, you get a new staff, and it's a big worry, no matter how good the team is or how bad it is, you know, because if they trick you, you got a problem. And so that's the thing. You want to see how the kids poise and you know, they'll make a few mistakes and they'll do things, and they just need to fight through those and play the rest of the game or each individual above those mistakes. Well, and that's where you find out what they're made of most of all.
How do you respond to when things get a little funky? Absolutely. Coach, what's an overall expectation for the defense, knowing defense like you do and knowing how it's kind of a work in progress with those puzzle pieces that you're trying to put in positions to succeed?
Well, I don't really like the kids to hear a coach saying that it's a work in progress. I mean, mm-hmm, sometimes it's done for the press, uh-huh, but the players need to understand that that's kind of a thing you say. I mean, mm-hmm, you know, when you run out of things to say, well, we're a work in progress, sure, or you know, you don't want to say a whole lot. But the players need to understand where all that terminology, you know, in the press is coming from. And, you know, don't pay any attention to that. I'm talking to you the way it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can walk in there and say, you know, we really are bad. Or you can say, I think we can be good. You know, so I've never did that. I've never done that yet. But, I mean, in my coaching career, but you know, you get the message. It's, you know, it's you have to communicate with the players so that they really, really have a feel for what you feel as a coach about them. And it can be both as a person and as a player.
Coach, are you excited about the offense for Nebraska? That's been a focus, obviously, leading up to this season with Tanner at quarterback, and mm-hmm, what Mike wants to do. And you know, you have all five linemen back, and you moved, mm-hmm, Conrad to center, and I mean, you're an O-line guy too. Are you excited, yeah, about what the offense can be?
I think I am, but here's the thing about a new quarterback and everything. You know, you still have to, no matter who he is, how great he is, and this or anything else, you know, he's got a lot of pressure on him from all the stuff that's been written about and said about him and everything else. And those are the things that are making him nervous. Can I live up to this? is that going to change your demeanor on the field that you really are?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to try to overdo things or do too much or things like that? And those are tough things. I mean, it's not, it goes at every level. That's a major thing. I don't know that there's any quarterback just walks out there and just terrorizes people unless they're playing one defense and he knows exactly where everybody is and that, you know, that kind of a deal. But I would guess that he's going to see some heat, you know, and, you know, they're going to test him in every way they can to find out what's the best way to attack him. So you're going to get some, you know, when you go into the second half, the things that have been successful for them, then those are the things you really want to try to adjust to.
When you look at Arkansas State, they've got a tremendous pass rusher who's, I think, 13 and a half sacks last year. They've got a good corner, and they have an offensive line that's very, very young and very, very new. I mean, that's something I would think you key on, isn't it, if you're the Nebraska front seven?
Yeah, if it's very new, that's offensive lines that needed to have experience together in games.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be, you know, that may be the golden egg that, you know, makes a decision on this football game. but, you know, they're going to have good athletes. I mean, we play Middle Tennessee or whoever you wanted to play, and they had – one year they had more draft choices than we did.
Wow.
I mean, you know, but – you know, they get a lot of transfers. They don't know who's come in, and just like Tanner came in, and he's a transfer. So some of these schools, you know, wait around and see what's going on and try to pick up transfer players and things like that. So if you get offensive linemen coming in, and they're coming in, you know, like now, it's messes. It's tough for them to pick up the stuff. You know, they may be better players in the long run, but don't really know the schemes and don't know the line calls and don't know, you know, really the whole offense then like they should. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a whole different thing. And then when you haven't played a game yet necessarily as an offensive line, playing together is, can cause some confusion. And so unless you're really experienced together, you know, like I think in our the way we operated then, our kids were pretty much grown up through the system and, you know, a second team and a lot of the third team guys could just fill in and they, you know, it'd be comfortable. But that when you'd hear somebody saying their offensive line or their defensive line isn't, you know, is all new or all this or all that or their secondary, then those are the things that people, you know, kind of want to attack. And so it may mean that they're going to use more pressure against them. Depending on what the quarterback is. I don't know whether he's an athletic type guy that's all over the place or a drop back passer.
He's pretty athletic. He's pretty athletic, and he put up some really good numbers in relief last year.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of like what you're talking about, Tanner. He can run with the ball. He can throw it. He can, you know. But I think if you look at Tanner, he's probably primarily a drop back quarterback that can do things, you know, when he has to, and that's kind of quarterback you're looking for in our offense.
Charlie McBride's with us. Coach, enjoy Saturday. We'll catch up probably next Tuesday since it's a holiday Monday, but we'll be in contact and always love starting another football season with you. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Good. Well, thank you. I'll be here. Give me a call.
We'll do so, Coach.
Okay. Yep.
Take care. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. You know, he's kind of right. Circle that O-line. How does that hold up, not only for Arkansas State, but if you're Nebraska? You're going to be hearing another 5 days about Javon Roland Jones coming after your guy at quarterback. Let's get you qualified for a 6-month online subscription to HaleVarsity.com. Message board community, recruiting information, breaking news, all that with HaleVarsity.com. Caller 5, caller 6 right now. Caller 5, caller 6. A 6-month online subscription also gets you qualified for Nebraska-Arkansas State tickets. Caller 5, caller 6 right now. HaleVarsity.com. 466-3776. 466-3776.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HaleVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Okay, shortly, it's a Brandon Vogel conversation. Free book signing. Him and Coach Cook. We're going to be out at Barnes & Noble in Lincoln, 50th and O. Excited to catch up with Vogues, get his take on the game this week. We'll probably bother him again for another edition of the Friday Forecast. Assuming Klausburn's not in any legal trouble this season. Thanks to Charlie McBride. Big thanks to Trooper Taylor, assistant head coach at Arkansas State. Cedric Golden also joined us in our conversation with Luke Gifford. Luke Gifford is going to be with us in about 15 minutes. And we welcome in Brandon Vogel of HaleVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm not quite sure how I fit into this loaded lineup you've had today.
It's been pretty nuts.
Yeah. Charlie McBride, Luke Gifford. Happy to be here.
No, we want you here because you're awesome. Now, better question to you, how is the wrist? Have you loosened the wrist up? Are you ready for nonstop signage?
I hope so. I started a pretty intensive regimen back in January. So, you know, this is the week where we all find out if all the work we put in the offseason amounted to anything. So,
please tell the world where you're going to be tonight and this week.
Yeah, I'll be at Barnes & Noble on O Street with Coach John Cook. We'll be signing copies of his book, which I was fortunate enough to work on with him, Dream Like a Champion. So urged to Nebraska volleyball or just coaching and leadership in general. I think it's a great book, obvious bias acknowledged. We'll be there, hoping to see a lot of people there. We'll sign books, and it should be pretty fun.
What are the hours, my friend?
6:30 to 7:30, although we're not gonna cut things off. If there are plenty of people there and they want books signed, we'll do everything we can to get them done.
6:30 to 7:30, 50th and O, Barnes & Noble, Coach Cook, Brandon Vogel, their book, Dream Like a Champion. Get a copy, get it signed. Vogues has got his mid-season form ready to sign that book for you. I am extremely happy for you. Vogues, press conference today, it was nice to see you. And you had a lot of things said today by players and coaches. And I want to go back to something that was said back in May per the World Herald from Arkansas State's head coach, Blake Anderson. Nebraska's beatable. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I don't think he's wrong. And I don't think a program like Arkansas State should feel differently. It's an accomplished program. You know, when you look at some of the head coaches that have come through there and just the consistency that they've played with in the Sun Belt, I mean, they're a team that can legitimately say that. There are some in college football that can't. I think Arkansas State's in that group. And Nebraska, you know, very well could be beatable. We don't know. You know, looking at the film last year, if Nebraska played Arkansas State at the end of the year, I still would have taken Nebraska to win, but it wouldn't have been a cakewalk. So you can kind of take some of those ideas, toss them in a blender, and who knows what you get because, well, we haven't seen anything on anybody yet.
We were talking about this earlier, and the reputation that this defense and this offense inherits after how 16 finished is this, and it's kind of the word out there. If you talk to some folks around other major programs, that if you hit Nebraska in the face long enough, they will go away. That's just the rep that's there, and it's not fair to this team, but they've got to change that reputation, don't they?
They absolutely do, and I think it's one of the key things in the season. because that mentality is out there. I know that for a fact. It's not just idle talk. I've heard it from a number of different places and heard it a number of times to believe that it's true. And I think Nebraska has the quarterback it wants. I think it's going to be running the offense it wants. I think the defense is going to be good to very good in 2017. So what it comes down to then, those sort of swing games that can take a season from good to great, are some of those where you have to answer that question. Can you take a hit and keep coming? We'll find out. You know, and the thing that's interesting about this weekend is Arkansas State, up front at least, is a good team that can do that. We'll see how much success they're able to have when you flip it around against Nebraska's defense. But it's going to be a challenge for Nebraska's offensive line.
No, absolutely. And Coach Trooper was, four or five linemen are new. So I think that is blood in the water for the Nebraska defense, even though it is new. You flip it around, though, and you've kind of profiled and detailed Arkansas State so far. I know about their stud off the edge, Javon, and his, the pelts he's put on his wall with career sack numbers. The other dude that he tag-teamed with last year's off with the Atlanta Falcons. But overall, what's that average for Arkansas State up front? Are they about 290? I mean, are they just beasts up front?
Well, I don't know if they're that big. So I haven't seen an update yet on D-liner. He was an Alabama transfer, one of the top defensive tackles in the country 3 or 4 years ago coming out of high school. He got injured a couple weeks ago. I haven't seen if he's available for this game or not. They're not so much big, but it's sort of that – it's that classic sort of southern defensive line that you kind of think of when you think of teams like Clemson and Alabama. Well, they're not quite that size, but they come with a similar amount of speed and quickness. Mm-hmm. That, they're gonna test Tanner Lee and probably be, I would think, pretty exotic defensively just to see what he's ready to handle, because he hasn't played a game in 600 days.
No, he hasn't. And I love this opportunity for Nebraska, because I mean, you got Jones at end, Liner's their D tackle. I mean, he's 6'3", 337, dude. I mean, he's just a big dude, and their other guy goes 285. And I know I'm talking about the defensive line, so they're supposed to be big. I get it. And then they got their bandit spot. He's kind of the 240-pound guy along with Roland Jones. He's 240. So you got your two fast edge guys at 6'2", 6'3". And then you got your two interior guys that can just put a hurting on your guard and tackles. I think this will be a sweet test if, in fact, you have Liner play for your center. And a guy like Cole Conrad, for Farmer, for Foster, who's, I know he started three games last year, but the guy's been tremendous, and then he's gotten hurt, or he wasn't able to ascend on that, the guard spots. But he's a guy they wanted to play as a true freshman. I know that. So this will be a great test for those three interior guys.
No, absolutely. I mean, this Arkansas State defensive line looks like a Power 5 defensive line to me. That's probably the easiest way to put it. And I think it challenges Nebraska at exactly the right spot. If you're interested in learning more about what this team might be in 2017, if you wanted to just walk out of Saturday with a win, and I do think Nebraska will get one, maybe you don't want to challenge at one of your biggest unknowns. But that's what we're going to have, and I think it'll be really interesting to watch Saturday, that battle in the trenches when Nebraska has the ball.
I'm really interested in the accumulation. What do you take from this first week? What do you take from Oregon? And then what do you take from your two monster opponents to finish the first half of the season before the bye week? And then how's November rock for you? I mean, there's three or four different compartments I want to look at to get your sum here at the end of the year. Vogues, what do you think Nebraska will want to do on offense? Are they going to try and line up and hammer it? Are they going to just shotgun four wide and just chuck it because they can with a guy like Lee? How do you think they'll go about the game plan?
Well, I think there will be a little bit of temptation to throw
just a little.
Just how long Tanner Lee's been sort of preparing for this and you know, knowing what we think we know he'll be able to do. It'll depend on how well Nebraska is able to handle the pass rush. I expect them to attack that way. You know, expect a shorter passing game, probably not a lot of seven-step drops. Let's chuck it deep and give Roland Jones a chance to move up the NCAA record book. Instead, let's throw it out there, bubble screens and, you know, various different screens, and attack that side of the field and make him move around and have to think and slow down. That's what I'm expecting to see on Saturday. I'm not a football coach, but short passing game, a little bit, you know, exotic, I guess, too, from that perspective, I think is what you'll end up seeing.
Well, I think you'll see some draws and some screens, and they'll be able to counter that pass rush, if not by just ability, if the O-line can just, to a man, win, but also from a schematic standpoint with what they do to take advantage of that upfield push. I mean, just let them run by and draw it out or screen it out. So that could be what happens on Saturday night. Great coverage throughout the week on HailVarsity.com with Brandon Vogel, Jacob Padilla, Greg Smith all over Cruton, and, of course, Derek Peterson, Mike Babcock, and the place to visit, HailVarsity.com. 30-day free trial offer, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. We gave away a couple of subscriptions earlier. Your chance at Nebraska-Arkansas State tickets before we say goodbye to qualify. That giveaway on Thursday. Vogue's final 30 seconds here. You guys will be all over the black shirts named. Is there anybody you think is left off that black shirt list? I'm thinking of your starters. Obviously, your front 11, the names you know. But any adds to that list, do you think?
Any ads? I could see. That's tough. Maybe a guy like Gifford at linebacker. Mm-hmm. If that one's close enough, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Diaco handles it. You know, there were a couple times in the past where maybe you only had nine guys who actually had black shirts. Mm-hmm. I'd be surprised if there was anybody left off. I could, from what I've seen and heard of Diaco, I think he would probably be more about, if you're here, you're part of this black shirt tradition. So all 11 you're in, because that's what we need to play black shirts defense. Something along those lines. Mm-hmm. So other than linebacker, maybe probably not even safety after looking at the depth chart. So maybe a linebacker in there.
Yep, we'll see if Gifford is there along with Newby and then the other cat spot. Vogues, enjoy the book signing tonight with Coach Cook, 6:30 to 7:30, 50th and Barnes & Noble, right?
That's right. Thanks for watching me.
Be good, buddy. Thank you. At Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Lou Gifford, our conversation with the pride of Lincoln Southeast. And now linebacker for Nebraska, Lou Gifford, next on Hail Varsity.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Lou Gifford with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Luke, it is game week. How's that sound?
Oh, man, it's about time. It's been a while coming. You know, fall camp was definitely a grind. It was long, but everybody embraces it, and we're ready to roll.
Captains were selected. You have five very deserving teammates. When you're putting your vote in, give me that thought process of what you're looking for in a captain, what you're looking for in a guy to lead.
Right. Well, you know, one of the first things that pops up is the guys who've experienced this and gone through it, you know. And I think Chris Weber and Josh Glue, just specifically on the defensive side, those two guys have been here and played a lot of football. And then just character, you know. Those guys are good guys, great guys. I know Kalu doesn't do a lot of interviews, so he might not be known as well, but everybody knows how great of a guy Chris is and how hard they work. So really, it was a no-brainer for us on defense.
What's Chris's personality like, and what's Kalu's personality like in that locker room?
Right. You know, Chris is maybe a little more laid back. He doesn't say as much, but he knows when to, and when he does talk, everybody listens. He's very respected. So that's kind of how he operates. And then, you know, Kalu's pretty vocal, and he knows when to speak up and get after guys, but he's also got this just attitude that everybody loves. You always want to be around him. He's super fun to play with. He's got a swag about him. So he's perfect to lead our defense.
That's going to be a buzzword this 17 season, is swag.
Yeah.
I would assume defensively. Kind of describe what it means to you and how the 90,000 plus will see that on Saturday night.
Well, you know, I think first is just that attitude that when we come out on the field that we want to dominate, you know. And I think we've had that the last couple of years, but it's really been taken to a whole nother level. And I think we all really believe in it, too, that when we step out there, we can really enforce our will, honestly. I think we've come a long way in the spring and the summer, and everyone's really confident in what we can do. So we're excited to put it out there.
3-4 defense is what you're in. What do you love about it?
It's so multiple. There's so many different things we can do. People flying around. And, you know, it's not even as much the 3-4 as it is Coach Diaco's just mentality that he's instilled in us, you know, just the way we go about every day. And I think that's really changed our defense and the way we play.
Luke, what's he said to you specifically? He's spoken publicly about what he likes about your skill set from a conversation standpoint. Then what kind of direction is he giving you up to now?
Yeah, I think just to be a great player out in space, you know, be able to cover and then come up and play the run too, and then also add a dimension in the pass rush game, which is something I'm really excited about and looking forward to. So I'm just trying to make a stamp wherever I can, honestly, and hopefully I'll be able to do that.
A couple more minutes. Luke Gifford with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. So watching you in high school, you were in the secondary. You've put on some muscle, more muscle, and you're playing that outside linebacker spot. You mentioned pass rush, and there'd be a few times where the safety blitz would happen in high school. Now you've got coverage responsibility, which you're fabulous at, but you got a pass rush.
Right.
How's that process been to bring out your inner Lawrence Taylor, I guess?
Yeah, you know, it's been tough. It was really hard for me. I remember in high school, honestly, I'm going to take a shot at Coach Miller real quick. He never let me blitz. I always tried to talk him into letting me. So when I got to college, I had never really done it before, and it was something I really had to work on. And honestly, up until this year, I really hadn't gotten it down, you know. This year is the first year that I've really worked hard on it. And a lot of it is that I'm just bigger and stronger, you know. So that helps a ton, obviously. But it's a craft, you know. Coach Perella's really helped me work on it. And it's still very much a process, still pretty raw. But I'm excited about spending time on it.
Perella's just fantastic with the technique work when it comes to that line of scrimmage battle. But to be able to be a good pass rusher with your size and strength, the bull rush is a natural. But I'm sure there's got to be some other, so to speak, pitches you have to have to go to. And what are those, not to give anything away, but what are those other like techniques you've had to work on?
You know, just your hands. Your hands are so huge. And I never really knew much about that until last year when I started doing a little bit. But that it's such a technique to it that you have to master. And when you look at the guys in the NFL who are the great pass rushers, their hands are just always moving, always getting the linemen's hands off them. And then being able to use your speed, for me, I think that's the biggest thing, is just utilizing my speed and being able to make counter moves off that. So
who's been pretty good to go against to help you get better? What linemen or two or three stick out?
Well, definitely Nick Gates. Gates is... He's a good one, you know, and I know when I can go up against him every day, and trust me, he gets me more oftentimes than not, but if I can make a move on him and get to the quarterback, then I know that I can do it against a lot of people, honestly. And then Gerald, obviously. Gerald, I never really got to do that against him in high school and even much last year. So this year he's like to tell me about it a little bit when he stops me. But it's awesome going against him because that dude, he knows what he's doing. So
Foster, pretty good trash talker.
Oh, Gerald can talk trash with the best of them, yes. He probably won't tell you that, but he can definitely do it.
Got more minutes. Luke Gifford with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. You know, when you look at this season and you have a new defense, that's been a talking point, the transition. The offense is a new leader at quarterback and maybe a better pro-style fit. And from an excitement level standpoint, I mean, where's the locker room at with just you're taking it one game at a time?
Right.
It seems like there are fits on both sides for potentially more complementary football.
Oh, yeah. We are super excited, you know. I mean, you try not to pay attention to what everybody else is saying, but you obviously see it, and we take it with a grain of salt. It's not that big of a deal to us, but deep down, you know, it definitely digs at you a little bit, and we're all excited to finally get out there and show what we can do because we know how good we can be. And obviously, take it just one week at a time, but this Saturday is the first step.
Is confidence as high as it's been since you've been here?
Honestly, yeah. I mean, I think back to when we had Amir and Kenny their senior year. That was pretty, and Randy and those guys. It's pretty similar, honestly, to when they were here. So, you know, I was a freshman, so it's a little bit different. I wasn't playing, so I don't understand it as much. But since I've been here and been playing a little bit, I think this is the highest our confidence has been.
Luke Gifford's with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. Luke, have you had a chance to dig in on Arkansas State at all?
Yeah, you know, we started last week on Wednesday. They're going to be a solid team. They're going to have a great offense. It'll be a good first test for us, so we're excited about it.
What stands out about them from their offensive side of the ball? 8-5 last year. A lot of dudes that can play ball and are from different programs that ended up there. And what's kind of their style? What's their philosophy offensively?
A lot of speed, you know, get it on the edges. They got some really good receivers, good quarterback coming back, and then two really good backs too. And so they got a lot of playmakers, a lot of places they can go with the ball. So we're going to have to be really sound and make sure we're great with our assignments.
Last thought here. You've been going against the offense for, I don't know, 15 weeks, right? The new offseason. What are Nebraska fans going to see from this offense, and what gives you confidence with this offense now moving forward here for this season?
Yeah, you know, they're a good bunch. They're probably the best offense I've gone against in the last couple of years while I've been here, honestly. I think they're so... with Tanner back there leading them, they're so poised, and there's a lot of good things that they do. I know going up against that line and pass rush and stuff, they pick up dang near everything. You know, Coach Cav's got them dialed in, and the backs have been really good, and really the receivers too. All around, there's no drop off. There's a lot of weapons we have, and I know I hear people talk about being worried about the weapons, but we're not worried at all. We know what we got, so we're excited about it.
Luke, have a great season. Thanks for a few minutes.
Yep, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Luke Gifford, and Mr. Luke got his black shirt today, although he didn't see it when he got to his locker around 3. Someone was hiding it, playing a bit of a prank on him. We'll wind down on Monday next.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
List of black shirts, 16 of them. Congrats. Freedom gets one. Khalil Davis, Carlos Davis, Mick Stoltenberg, linebackers, Newby, Weber, Diedrich Young, Mo Berry, Alex Davis, Luke Gifford, of course, Lamar Jackson, Eric Lee, DiCaprio Boodle, your safeties, Aaron Williams, Antonio Reed, and Josh Kalu. Those are your black shirts as of today, 2017, August 28th. And Luke Gifford just with us last segment, black shirt reception there this afternoon and practice. Good to get caught up with him. He's happy. His mates are happy for sure. You might have noticed a different soybean sign in your neighbor's fields this year. Yep, that's right. AgriGold. Our customers now have access to select soybean varieties direct to the farm, the AgriGold way. They have high expectations for every seed that goes into the ground, and our approach to soybeans no different. High-performance soybeans from a brand you already know. For more information, visit AgriGold.com, 800-262-7333. Awesome show today. Thanks to so many. Thanks to Cedric Golden and Brandon Vogel and Black Shirt Luke Gifford and Blackshirt Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride. Also assistant head coach Trooper Taylor. He's the corners coach. He's the assistant head coach. He's been to a number of programs. He's been a top 25 recruiter in the nation per ESPN and Rivals 6 times in his college career. So he enlightened us on Arkansas State to get things kicked off. We'll take caller number 9, caller 10, caller 11. 9, 10, 11 right now to qualify for Arkansas State and Nebraska tickets. We'll give those away Thursday. Callers 9, 10, and 11 right now. Be nice to Mr. Danny. And you'll get qualified now, and we'll do that giveaway Thursday. Also, Blur Party passes for you when you win those tickets. Caller 9, caller 10, caller 11. Right now, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Caller 9, caller 10, caller 11 qualifies for Nebraska-Arkansas State tickets that giveaway on Thursday. We are at Miller Time Pub. Yes, Miller Time Pub on Friday, 4 to 6. Jay Moore going to rock that with me. We want to see you down there. Plenty of beer specials, food specials, a great primer for your weekend with Nebraska football. Miller Time Pub, Cornhusker Marriott's where that is at, like 13th and I think it's K or Normal. Let me. How about I use the old web here to get you the exact address? But you know where the Cornhusker Hotel's at, right? And inside of there, the Miller Time Pub. Let me just say this. Undefeated when it comes to their beer cheese soup, right? Fantastic. We want to see you at Miller Time this Friday for a road show of Hail Varsity Radio. Caller 9, 10, and 11 now qualifies for Arkansas State and Nebraska tickets. We'll do that giveaway Thursday. And plenty more from Coach Riley, plenty more from other folks with the program. The rest of this week, Mitch Sherman tomorrow. We're working on a couple other folks to pop on by. And we will get you ready and loaded up for college football this week. It is awesome to have it back. Thanks for your time. Thanks to Danny. I'm Chris Schmidt. Back at you tomorrow with Hail Varsity at 4, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Take care.